back to season two of the Atlanta Opera's Blink Opera podcast. I'm soprano Suzanne Burgess, and I'm thrilled to return to the Atlanta Opera as Mabel in The Pirates of Penzance. I'm delighted to be your host for this week's episode on one of Gilbert and Sullivan's most popular operettas. Gilbert and Sullivan, also known to music lovers as G&S, were a dynamic duo. William Schwenk Gilbert was the librettist, providing lyrics to Arthur Sullivan's tunes. Together, they wrote 14 operettas between 1871 and 1896, including hits you might know, like HMS Pinafore, The Mikado, and The Pirates of Penzance. In fact, The Pirates of Penzance was in part a reaction to the piracy the G&S encountered in the States following the debut of HMS Pinafore. To avoid this problem of unlicensed American productions, when The Pirates of Penzance opened in 1879, it played in England for one performance and then opened immediately in New York City the very next night, thus securing both British and American copyrights. Coming from a British family, I can appreciate Gilbert and Sullivan's use of satire to poke fun at the Victorian culture and the establishment of the times. The Pirates of Penzance is essentially a parody, full of larger-than-life stereotypes of Victorian pride and duty. Part of the brilliance of G&S is that you can choose to take it at face value and indulge in the pure silliness, or you can dig for a deeper meaning in the darkness of the comedy. And luckily, we have some of the pair's catchiest tunes to help us tell the story.
Pull aboard the pirate ship, fill the pirate bar.
At the start of Act 1, the curtain rises to reveal a merry band of pirates on the coast of Cornwall, known as the Pirates of Penzance. At the center of the party is young Frederick, a pirate apprentice, who celebrates his 21st birthday and is now a full-fledged pirate. Ruth, Frederick's former nursery maid, who now works with the pirates, joins the party with life-changing news. She explains that Frederick was, in fact, never intended to be a pirate, but for her mistake. She was told to apprentice Frederick to be a ship's pilot, but she misunderstood and apprenticed him to a pirate.
My instructions, which within my brain did gyrate, I took and bound this promising boy, apprentice to a pirate.
Frederick announces that, although it pains him, once he is free from his apprenticeship, he will commit himself to destroying the pirates. Frederick believes the pirate way of life is wicked, and that they should consider leaving for a more respectable lifestyle. He also points out that they are, in fact, terrible pirates who refuse to harm those who claim to be orphans. Frederick notes that word of this has gotten around, so any captured ships routinely claim to be orphans just to get away.
For I am the pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king, for I am the pirate king.
You walk the pirate king.
And it is a glorious thing to be the pirate king.
It is, hurrah for the pirate king, hurrah for the pirate king.
Frederick pleads with the pirates to go with him, but the pirate king points out that piracy is comparatively honest when contrasted to respectability. In the boisterous number, Oh, Better Far to Live and Die. Ruth and Frederick are left alone on the shore as the pirates head back out to sea. The only woman Frederick has ever seen is Ruth, and he believes her to be beautiful. However, he is soon met with reality when he spies the daughters of Major General Stanley arriving for a picnic on the beach.
Does not feel the moral beauty of making worldly interest subordinate to sense of duty.
Frederick begs one of them to take pity on his lot and to marry him. The girls are fascinated by him, but all reject him, except one. Mabel responds to his plea, scolding her sisters for their lack of charity with flying high notes in her aria, Poor Wandering One.
Poor Wandering One, if such poor love as mine can help thee find a
pirates return, kidnap the daughters, and declare their immediate intention to marry them. Mabel warns the pirates that their father is a major general who soon arrives and introduces himself in one of Gilbert and Sullivan's most famous tunes.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England and I quote the fights historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical.
Side note about the first time that I sang this piece. It was actually my first opera experience ever. First semester, freshman year, and I was in the chorus. During this scene, my friends and I made a game trying to see who could say the lyrics the fastest without making a mistake. We actually got quite good, so good that on opening night, we beat the band entirely and the scene fell apart.
I'm very well acquainted with math as mathematical. I understand equations both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news.
Knowing the pirates' weak spot, the Major General throws himself at their mercy, declaring that he is an orphan. And the tender-hearted pirates agree not to take his daughters away. The act ends happily as the girls are released from the pirates' clutches and Mabel and Frederick look forward to their marriage. Act 2 opens at the Major General's estate, where his daughters try desperately to comfort his guilty conscience. He admits that he's afraid he has brought shame upon his family by lying to the pirates. Inspired after seeing his future father-in-law in despair over such trivial matters, Frederick once again declares his intentions to exterminate the pirates, honoring his sense of duty to Mabel, her family, and to society. Hearing that an attack has happened, the somewhat ineffective police come to the rescue. Frederick agrees to help the police sergeant rid Penzance of the pirates forever. He ventures off alone and determined to find them. As Frederick searches for the pirates, Ruth and the Pirate King surprise him and explain that there has been a slight snag and his apprenticeship hasn't actually been fulfilled.
We said if we could tell it him, how Frederick would the joke enjoy. And so we risked both life and limb to tell it to our boy.
That paradox!
That paradox! That most ingenious paradox! We've quips and quibbles heard and blocks, but none to beat that paradox.
A paradox, a paradox, a most ingenious paradox. A paradox.
They explain that Frederick was to be apprenticed until his 21st birthday, but having been born in a leap year, on the 29th of February, which only happens every 4 years, he is technically only 5. So just to clarify for our listeners, though he has lived 21 years, he has only had 5 birthdays. And in order to reach 21 birthdays, he must serve the pirates for 67 more years. Nonsense, of course, but in true Gilbert and Sullivan style, Frederick takes the bait and rejoins the pirates. The Pirate King insists that Frederick respect his own sense of duty. So, the ever-obedient young man informs him that the Major General lied about being an orphan. The enraged Pirate King and Ruth swear vengeance. Frederick visits Mabel before leaving with the pirates. She begs him to ignore the pirates' claim, but swears that she will be faithful as she waits over 60 years for him to officially turn 21.
Stay, Frederick, stay! They have no legal claim. No shadow of a shame will fall upon thy name. Stay, Frederick, stay!
Nay, Mabel, nay! Tonight I quit these walls. The thought my soul appalls. But when stern duty calls, I must obey.
Mabel summons her inner strength and tells the police that they will have to prepare to take down the pirates without Frederick's help. Little do they know that the pirates are already planning an attack of their own.
We cut like tread upon our way we steal. In silence tread our cautious way we feel. No sound at all, we never speak a word. A fly's footfall would be distinctly heard.
Seeking revenge against the Major General, the pirates arrive at his estate. The police muster up the courage to defend the Major General and his daughters, but they are easily overpowered by the pirates. The sergeant begs the pirates to stand down in the name of the benevolent Queen Victoria. Just when hope is almost lost, Ruth steps in and saves the day by revealing the biggest plot twist of them all. The dreaded Pirates of Penzance are actually noble men who have all lost their way. Realizing the boost that this could give his social position, all is instantly forgiven, and the Major General urges the now ex-pirates to resume their legislative duties and marry his daughters. Frederick and Mabel are reunited, and the opera ends with the multiple pending nuptials celebrated by a big, happy family.
Take heart, fair days will shine. Take heart, fair days will shine. Take
episode of the Atlanta Opera podcast, Blink Opera. With absurd adventures, improbable paradoxes, and endless clever tunes, Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance is a classic operetta for all to enjoy. I'm Suzanne Burgess, soprano, and thank you for tuning in.